Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development in the lifestyle thereof. I am your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, a special guest each month, Ray Graham. How are you doing?
What's up, Ray? What's happening? I'm missing the karate gi that you usually are wearing up in here.
Oh, you know what? You want what?
I have it. What happened?
It's my Stop Asian Hate
t-shirt. Oh, geez.
For those watching. We need to bring this guy back so Asians don't get picked on anymore. We're missing a Bruce Lee, for those who are listening, wearing a Bruce Lee t-shirt representing. I've heard that it's gotten worse in the Bay Area. I was talking to a police officer who works really? In the Bay Area. We were hanging out at Disneyland together, and it was weird. I don't want to start conspiracy, but he just straight up said these are just underreported. They're kind of being dismissive, saying that it's not. They're not like quick to kind of jump on saying it's hate crime, even though the person coming in straight up says, I hate Asians. Once they catch them, they have a history of violence. Mental health is just fine. It kind of broke a lot of my misconceptions.
Because I was about to say that, like, you said Bay Area, is it mostly San Francisco? Right? Or
mostly San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a police officer in San Francisco.
Because I can imagine, like, if it was San Francisco, it could be a lot of mental health issues on top of all
that's what issues. I thought, man. But he said that these people are very sound, of course, with criminal activities, but they had intent of doing harm. Right. But it really opened my eyes a bit. But again, that's besides the point. We're here to talk about games. The main thing is, if you're hearing Ray, you know this is a monthly roundtable. This is where we kind of talk about the biggest topic or several topics that happen in the game industry itself. So without further ado, let's go over to our roundtable. Nice. All right. Let's do this. Bam. So the biggest thing, although there were many news, we hear a little bit of CD Projekt still like profiting and losing a lot of heads, right? But at the same time, the biggest thing was the Epic vs. Apple. So I would say this, right? Both you and I were pretty dismissive about how long this would be playing out. We thought it was just mainly a flex from both sides. But holy crap, Epic, I guess there is a limit to how much you can pay a lawyer. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. If you are a billionaire, you most likely will get the same type of lawyer. And both sides are really good. The most interesting part, I'm going to go like about 9 to 10 points that kind of came out of this whole thing that was pretty interesting. But I believe about 2-3 weeks ago, they made a final statement, or at least a week ago or something, a final statement. And so now the verdict is in the air. It's not out yet, but people were kind of surprised that there is an equal chance for either side. And right now it's surprisingly leaning towards Epic taking down the Titan, right? There's a lot of anti-Apple. You don't think so?
I don't know about all that. Yeah, but based on the stuff the judge was saying and all that, I don't know. I think it's at least 60-40 in Apple's favor, I think.
Hey, man, that's a bigger statistic than I thought, bro.
I don't know. I think I heard the verdict is coming down like in another couple of months. It's like they're going to take a long time to stew on the outcome of this. So, yeah. it's kind of crazy. I think I was dismissing it, saying it's just going to be settled out of court and then it would just go away and that would be that and nothing will change. But here we are. I'll say it here live. I was wrong, but
I was wrong too. I surely thought that it was it started out with Epic kind of catering to Fortnite players, saying free Fortnite or whatever. It was silly. Yeah. And then Apple looked like the only serious one out of this. And then surprisingly, we got, kind of conned in a good way that Epic had like all this up their sleeve. So the main important thing, and I'll go point by point about the surprising thing that came out. The first thing was we finally know how much Fortnite actually makes. I was surprised how much private information was made public just by the sheer nature of arguing your point, I guess. I had no idea.
It's a court case, man.
Didn't know how much was actually involved in telling everything, but I guess everything is on the table. Fortnite made $9 billion in 2 years. So that's why they're doing just fine. So in 2018, specifically $5.4 billion, and then in 2019, $3.7 billion. We don't even know the 2020 numbers because it's so recent. Pandemic year, by the way.
Yep.
Another surprising thing that came from it was in that last year, they bought Cyanix, probably 2019, huh? Where they bought the makers of Rocket League.
Yeah.
So from that, Cyanix Games, Battle Breakers, which one was Battle Breakers? I don't remember that one. And Spy Jinx reached $100 million in 2 years, just from three games.
Yep.
Is that how much AAA games make now?
Well, no, that's what happens when you have free-to-play mechanics and you're selling stuff on stores.
I mean,
and you have a popular game that everybody likes to play.
Yeah, I mean, there is a trend that they're starting over there, right? They bought Cyanix with Rocket League, which made sense. And then they bought the your friends with what's that game called?
Fall Guys?
Fall Guys. Yeah.
Mediatonic.
They bought Mediatonic, but mostly Fall Guys last year.
Yeah.
Which I believe they're waiting to make it free to play. A very surprising moves lately too. They made that purchase, which makes sense, but that was made in Unity, so I don't know what that deal is going to be. Are they going to transfer?
They announced what the reasoning was behind that, right? They're talking about the new metaverse. They're trying to build the metaverse.
Right, the metaverse. We talked about it last time. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
They're thinking the next big move, right? They have Fortnite. It's slowly fading, not really slowly fading away, but it is fading away at one point. They know the end to that. And so they're making sure that it's going to be of relevance. So the metaverse is perfect for that because people love nostalgia. Just watch Ready Player One. So 10 years from now, Fortnite, maybe not as popular. It'd be nice to visit Fortnite Land, and it still keeps the franchise fresh. Just look at Disneyland, right? It's the same business. So the Epic Games Store made $235 million in 2 years. So that's at a loss because the last time we talked about that, they spent well over $330 million just to buy the first person party, something around those lines to kind of have those exclusives.
I don't think it was 300. I thought it was like 25 million, wasn't it?
Nah, man. I'll look this up, man. You look it up. Why?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was a ridiculous number.
I don't remember it being that high. Maybe I'm just tripping.
Well, Tim Sweeney said that was a success. So it was absurdly high, I remember. If you can look that up and confirm.
That's what it was. They spent at least $11.6 million on the free games.
Right.
That's what it was.
On the free games.
Yeah. And got 5 million users in return.
Yep.
Yes.
And then they also revealed they spent over $444 million in 2020 to attract more PC gamers. So that's just marketing. Yeah. Wow, man. I didn't know they had to expose all that. It's so private.
Financials, man. Because the whole case is about how much money you make and what's the size of the market and all that kind of stuff, right? So you have to release all that information if you really want to make your point, I guess.
The one surprising thing that I don't know if you were aware, and we're looking at an article from Push, the reveal of the revenue for Fortnite, 50% of that was made on PlayStation.
You surprised?
I'm very surprised.
Why?
I don't know. For some reason, I thought the Switch or something more affordable was going to be a stronger player, but I had no idea that Sony had that much power.
Well, it's not about Sony having power. Sony has a lot of users, right?
They do have a lot of users. Yeah, but like Switch was pretty much up there too, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, but when it comes to the revenue is from people buying stuff, right? And so the crowd of people that would have the most expendable extra cash to be throwing at Fortnite things would be the ones that could afford the more expensive console, you think? You know what I mean?
$5 billion made just on PlayStation. Sony was happy. Like, why are they complaining? Because Sony still does the 30%, right? Don't they? On microtransactions?
Yeah, I would imagine Sony must have got something off of that. Yeah.
And they're mad at Apple. Because Apple wasn't even 10% or something. Let me see. Was it? They have the numbers here, actually.
iPhone?
46% was from PlayStation 4. 27.5% was contributed by Xbox One. And then only 7% was only on iOS.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay.
So the remaining 18% were between PC. Wow, PC is still such a small market. Android and Nintendo Switch. That is surprising. Mm. So just 18% PC, Android, and Nintendo Switch. Yeah. That's why no one cares about these guys.
PlayStation killing it. I guess it was a good idea to not do save the world mode, you know, after all. I love that mode, you know, and it just nobody played it, got no love, and then they pivoted to Battle Royale, and that was that.
And save the world was the original.
Yeah, it was the original. You build forts and zombies and come and attack your forts, basically.
Yeah. It was the game before, you know, PUBG told them to make it. And it's one of those, I guess, pretty synonymous story when it comes to success, right? It has a bad guy origin, right? But then looking back, like $9 billion later, looking back, it was the right decision. It's like,
I mean, okay, it's like this, right? And some people out there are all about capitalism and all of those things, right? And so, yes, as a purely capitalistic move, you see a trend, you move to where the trend is at, and you exploit. And they definitely did a lot of work to exploit and monetize the hell out of it. And, you know, the content kept coming, right? And the content delivery and everything, that's a lot of work, you know what I mean? So they definitely put some effort in. But at the same time, you know, sometimes, you know,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Sometimes the good guys don't win, right? That's
what I feel like most times good guys don't win. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here talking to you, man. So anyways,
when it comes to $9 billion, it's all about being as cutthroat as you can in order to do it.
Right. What's funny that they're in this case because we feel like these two companies are pretty cutthroat and they're fighting each other on it. What's interesting about this PlayStation information is we'll kind of hear more stories to it, but you know, a few weeks back, like PlayStation, Sony didn't want to do the cross play stuff. Like they were most resistant. Obviously with that many microtransaction and many players, 50%, right, of the playing field, I guess they had somewhat of a say of wanting to keep that within their ecosystem as much as possible. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, they have enough players to do stuff like that. You know, they can luck. They don't necessarily need to be promoting crossplay if they have a bunch of a really large player base.
Yeah, so there's this is 9 factoids that I found on MSC Money that was the most interesting bits from this court case that kind of revealed things, right? So you being the ex-Apple guy, these are skeletons from your closet that we kind of knew about, but now make unavoidably clear that, you know, Apple definitely has an agenda, right? Obviously.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. If you think this is a big bombshell or some sort of news, the Apple ecosystem is a closed.
It's very important,
yeah. Right? And I mean, and Apple has been on record saying that it's closed for a reason, and this is why it's closed. And of course, they say all the good things, right? Like protection of the users and privacy concerns and all those things. But at the end of the day, it's so that they could completely control hardware, software, integration, make it nice, right? The integrations are super nice, but it is a closed ecosystem, right? And so, yeah, like that whole factoid that came out of the case about iMessage was locked down because, you know, they wouldn't want to put on Android. Yeah, well, yeah. iOS is a lockdown ecosystem. Of course it is, right? So
this is the party.
They want you to buy more Apple stuff. Like, that's just how it works.
It makes sense, man. Like, it's always since in any tech, right? A private party is always the cooler party than the one that's open to everybody, right? So, I mean, that's the Facebook social network premise right there. But I will say this. I mean, I'm listening through the Steve Jobs book right now, his biography. Basically, like, it's okay to be an asshole.
That's not, I don't know which one you're reading, but the one I read was pretty.
The famous one. Right after he died.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Okay, but for the listeners, let me look it up. Jobs. By Walter Isaacson.
Isaacson, yeah.
Yeah, I'm listening to that. I mean, it was very interesting. I'm still in the middle of it, but like, I'm coming to respect how Apple plays into the tech world, right? I mean, they've always been the innovators before Microsoft, and they've always been this closed system. I mean, they've been through it with Microsoft as basically servicing everyone else. And now they're going through it with Android that is servicing everyone else. So the common denominator has always been Apple. And it's funny that, you know, Microsoft tried to get in the phone business and completely failed, right? So, this first little factoid right here for those that are watching was mainly about how Apple keeps its iMessage within the system. What's interesting is, you know, of course, they had ideas to make it more like WhatsApp, where anybody can kind of message within each other or within that system. But then, you know, as soon as it was brought up in 2013 and 2016, it was completely shut down for the same reason that Ray kind of shared, right? But it's nice to kind of hear
Where's the money in that? There's no money.
I know, right? It makes sense. It makes sense. And Apple is, how much I hate it, right? I do like that smartwatch. Like, it is unbeatable and unequal. And trust me, I'm wearing a Fitbit smartwatch. Because that's literally the only useful smartwatch that isn't the Apple smartwatch. I looked at the Galaxy watch, right? I was like, what the shit is this? It's the ugliest, clunkiest thing. It's barely supported. Yeah. And basically every other watch besides the Apple Watch, it just does not match in quality and in price. So. And it almost made me feel like, should I buy an iPhone? So it works in that degree, right? It's like, this product is so cool where I might have to buy in with this bullshit, right? But I'm going to stick with my smartwatch for now, right? I'm good. I'm good with my Fitbit. So this is the fact that I was bringing up earlier with the PlayStation. How the crossplay was such a huge deal, right? Where PlayStation was the most resistant. But it showed that it was way sketchier. There was like a lot of emails back and forth between them, Epic and Sony, And there was a lot of complicated like proposals to make it work and profitable, mostly on the Sony camp, right? Because you know, they're sitting there with the numbers in front of them, and then obviously, hey, I want more of the pie if you want to open this up for Sony players to play with others, right? It benefits you obviously because your game is going to be bigger, but right, we need to see some of that cheese to make this work. So obviously they made some concessions because now it is crossplay, and it is a milestone that, you know, I don't think a lot of the industry gives credit to Epic. Like, that was the first major game that ushered in crossplay in a meaningful way, right? I can't remember another game that is as impactful. And I hope in the history of games that a whole chapter is dedicated to that, because I don't remember a game I ever played with anyone on another system and how revolutionary of an idea that is. And Epic did it. It is cool to play with other people.
But I mean, that's not the first game to ever do that.
The big major one, I don't think even COD did that until after.
Nah, man. Yeah, like I'm sure there has to be some fighting game, Street Fighter.
Not a game that is that big where everyone's playing and talking about
Street Fighter, dude. You tell me Street Fighter's not a big game, bro?
It's not as big as Fortnite, bro.
It's not making $9 billion in 2 years. That is correct. However, that's a big AAA game. I'm sure there's been others that have been crossplay, and the ones that are crossplay, and they just don't talk about it, like, you know, because it just kind of works right across different,
yeah,
you know,
it's called bad marketing.
Windows and Xbox, or you know, one platform or another. Like, there's been multiple instances of that before, for sure.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call it as revolutionary is all I'm saying.
Right. But I think the impact is definitely felt the most with Fortnite, with every kid. Yeah. During the pandemic, before the
50% of the revenue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
For sure. That's my impact.
The third piece of news is, you know, one of the biggest thing that Epic has been arguing is that, you know, all the rules aren't fair, right? Epic has like this hard, fast rule of 30%, but, you know, there's a history of them kind of letting certain companies bypass that rule. So they're picking and choosing who their friends are. And that is a very strong argument and just basically been proven through this case, right? With Apple basically treating Netflix and Amazon very special because of the amount of users that they bring in.
Yeah.
You know, the 30% cut isn't exactly 30% for any of those two. Like, I last time I heard it was half.
I think Apple could afford to charge less.
Yeah.
Right. And especially when it is somebody who has that many users like Amazon, although Amazon still doesn't sell anything on the iPhone in the app. Right. Like, it sells stuff, but it doesn't sell digital things. You still can't buy Kindle books on your Apple device. You have to go to the website to buy a Kindle book.
Right. I mean, Amazon still bypasses that.
Because Amazon's like, yeah, we're not paying for every book. Right. Yeah. It's understandable to have deals. Like, if it's your platform, you can do whatever the hell you want. Right. And you can strike up deals with people however you want. If you want to give Netflix and Amazon deals, you could decide to do that and then say, screw Epic. Epic's like trying to act as if they are on the level of like Amazon and Netflix. And it's like, nah. And on top, not only on top of that, like, we already talked about this. This whole thing is just
silly.
They want Epic Game Store on iOS devices.
Well, the new information.
That's where the money's at. That's where
right.
The
money's at. Of course. Well, I mean, 7.2% of the money, at least. which I thought they, so it's great to kind of confirm that, right? Because now I know, that's why they went after Apple, because they can afford it, right? And it makes a statement, and it keeps them, they know their future is eventually going to be mobile. So they're just planning ahead, right? It feels like, you know, before this all happened, I was like you on the Apple side. It's their store. They built this ecosystem. They worked hard at it. So therefore, they can build the rules around it, mm-hmm. right? It's not like they're buying up a piece of your neighborhood and calling it theirs. They really built up this universe.
It turns out the rules don't need to be fair. and life is not fair, and the rules right. don't need to be fair, and therefore you don't need the same treatment for everybody.
I will say this though, because especially in the tech industry, there's always been a breakup for monopolies, right? Microsoft, I think the last famous time where a company was split in half just by pure winning, right? So if that's been done before, that's the only thing that I feel like, well, I mean, Apple have built something so successful that they have to be, according to history, broken up, because that wouldn't be fair to all the companies that were split.
Is that even true, though? Because last I checked, there's more Android devices in the world. Last I checked, you know, there's way more users of Android devices across the world. You know, last I checked, what is it? Xiaomi is a big ass phone brand in China, right? Like, I mean, Apple doesn't have the whole thing on lock. People got all sorts of choices.
Yeah, I mean, they brought this lawsuit. I guess they settled with Google smartly. Right before it began, right? They figured out something, and Apple kind of pressed forward. So that's why there's been mostly an Epic versus Apple, which, you know, we're seeing both in the flex, and really changed my perspective of like a multi-billionaire company is not that much, or a trillionaire company is not much different from a billionaire company. They end up with the same type of lawyers.
And well, I think it's just Apple. Apple's like, man, we don't even want to spend as much on this.
Oh, you think so? They didn't put all their resources in it? Well, no, I mean,
I'm just joking, but I can imagine Apple's like,
man, well, I don't want to spend no money on this. One of their last get together was Tim Cook, like, defending on behalf of Apple. I was surprised by that. I didn't know he had to do all that. No. I thought he was too rich to do that. But this is a fourth factoid where, I mean, surprise, surprise. The App Store is wildly profitable, but Apple still won't admit it. There is a thing there. I don't know why they don't like to brag about it. Is it for cases like this where they don't want to be a target for monopolies?
Well, I don't know, but I just know, like, you know, my experience there, I just know generally they're very secretive about everything. Mm. And their image is very carefully crafted, right? And what gets shared out to the world is very carefully crafted, right? So I imagine it's something to do with that, right? Where keep the mystery, right? Don't really let people know exactly how much that App Store is making, right? They're just very secretive about those things.
Well, it just makes me feel like it's a ridiculous amount. Because you see your Epic saying $9 billion for a game in 2 years, right? That is a scary amount for a game in 2 years, right? But Apple is like, I don't want to even share. This will blow your mind.
No, if I share information. That's always like the top 2%, top 3% of everything is like, there's the $1 billion revenue things. And then the other 98% is like scraping by or making like $100. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't think using Epic as like, $9 billion of Fortnite as an indicator to how much money the App Store is making. Like, I don't think this is exactly a one-to-one thing, but yes, money be made, and a lot of money be made, right?
Well, this is what I mean, right? So if that information of how much Fortnite makes money, you know, is pertinent to this case, the App Store, in comparison, should be pertinent information, but somehow they still was able to shield it a bit.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Like, they were trying to get Valve to release their numbers too, so they could do some comparisons.
Yeah. To get more market research that had nothing to do. It was like, we already won this. Can we get more market research on our competitors? We might want to start making Mac games. But like the running joke, as this article kind of pointed out throughout the whole trial, was Phil Schiller kept on saying he had no idea if the App Store had brought in more money than it spent since been created in 2009, because that's not how I look at the business as the business guy, right? I don't know how much we sell other things. But for context, the App Store brought in more than $60 billion in 2020. Which would be quite a lot to burn through without realizing.
The thing is, they haven't burned through it. They put it in the bank. They like, how many billions of dollars do they have just sitting in the bank, just chilling, right?
So. Yeah, I'm sure. Tim Cook was asked the same question. He said it was profitable, but wasn't calculated by how much. This is such ridiculousness. The firmest number came from an expert witness hired by the Epic side, who pegged the profit margin as high as 78% profit. That's 8% more than they're charging everyone else. How is that possible?
they should go on Shark Tank, man. Those are some good profit margins.
That would leave Apple with more than 40. So if they made $60 billion, they profit basically $45 billion from the App Store alone. That is a huge profit margin, bro. To only spend like, what is it, $15 billion to get $45 billion? Billions? Holy crap. Yeah. The next factoid is number 5, and this is about Xbox. I guess the economics of Xbox is a lot more complicated than people thought. They said to distinguish the Xbox from the iPhone sells, Microsoft sells Xbox hardware at a loss or near loss. So the company's approach is different from Apple, which makes money from every iPhone it sells. So it still sells? Yep. The system was still selling near to loss?
Brandon, why are you surprised? This is well-known information in the industry, right?
The first 2 years or 4 years of a console launch, not all the way to its 9th year.
No. Like, it's well known that there's been other consoles where they just sell it at a loss because they're going to make it all back on the licensing fees for the games, right? They charge licensing fee on every game that gets sold on the thing.
PlayStation's not doing that.
PlayStation was doing that 1 year. 1 year, like, they
1 year. They've been around for like 20.
The only company that has not sold a console at a loss is your boys over at Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always a generation behind for a reason. They're smart. I mean, I get it. They concentrate on
when that news came out about Xbox and everybody was acting like, at least the reporters were acting like it was like some big revelation. Everybody was kind of like, what? Like, what are you guys talking about? Like, it was just like, you know, if you're in the industry, you know that is true. That is how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, so the 6th factoid, we kind of know this about the Epic Game Store, right? How they spend hundreds of million dollars and it being their first year. They came at it with a loss, right? Just acquiring exclusives, or at least free versions to attract people to the store. And so it won't be 2024, when Tim Sweeney says, until Epic expects a profit from the Epic Game Store. So keep downloading that. Dude, they had the NBA 2K1, 2K21. Free,
that.
Dude.
I saw that. I picked it up. I was like,
all right, we gotta play some games. We gotta play some PCs, man.
You don't get none of this smoke on
PC. Oh my god, smoke up your ass. Yeah, we gotta play some time. What the hell? Apple gains a lot by slow walking progressive web apps. Can you explain that? What is a slow walking progressive web app?
I have no idea. You have to read the rest of that. I have no idea.
All right. So there's a way to get software into iPhones that doesn't use the App Store, right? So Androids obviously are kind of famous for that. They're kind of open in that way. Mm. So nestled in the App Store, there's a whole range of technologies under Progressive Web Apps, or PWAs for short, that makes the functionality app available through a browser, basically. So instead of going to the App Store, you can circumvent it. So Google has pushed this hard with some support from Microsoft and Twitter, but so far, Safari has been slow to roll out support. I wonder why. Refer to factoid 2. Keep it a closed system.
Yep. So why? Well, a lot of people work around a lot of the app limitations by saying, okay, I'll just show a web page and then do it through the web page.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not the app, it's a web page. Right. And so, yeah, like I could see Apple being like, nah, I don't want to, like, I don't want to help people support that use case. Right.
Yeah, it's respectable.
Because like from Apple's perspective on that, like, of course, you know, you believe what you want. Right. But like, the perspective there is for performance, like web apps are slower than native apps, some could argue, right? And then say that the experience is better if it's a native app, right? And so the Apple's like, nah, we don't want to support stuff that we think is slow and outdated, much like how they kind of said, nah, we don't want to support Flash anymore, right? Mm-hmm. If you remember that from back in the day.
Yeah. Number 8 is very interesting. So it has to do with the Mac, right? The desktop mm-hmm. version. So the biggest thing about this trial is how App Store wants to remain exclusive in a closed garden, right? And you know, there were suggestions for Craig Federighi, I guess the attorney team for Epic. Oh no, Craig Federighi is the Apple side. Well, the main thing was Epic asking Apple's like, why don't they run it like the way they do on the Mac, where yeah, you do have your central app store, but there's other ways to get software to work, right? Obviously outside the app store. And then Craig Federighi said the simple answer. They said basically they don't like how it works on the Mac because of the amount of malware attacks. And they worry that, you know, they don't want the iOS to kind of suffer through the same thing, which is interesting. Actually, makes sense.
On Mac, they make it as hard as possible to run a non app store app, right? Like, because usually if you download something on the internet on a Mac and you say, okay, run this thing, it'll pop up a box and say, are you sure? This is an unsigned app. And then you have to do a specific key combination to get it to just open, just run the thing, right? Yeah. I don't care, right? So it's very obfuscated. Yeah. I'll probably say that word wrong, but you know, like, it's very hard to do it because Apple doesn't want you to do it.
Yeah, right? It's the reason why I hate Apple. I like Windows because it's all about if you can get it, you can get it, right?
Yeah,
you'll get it. But like that kind of brings up to this point.
I would point out that even Microsoft wants you to use the Windows Store. Right. You know, their Windows Store, UWP, Windows apps, like they started going down that right route with signed apps. And your boy, Tim Sweeney, was like, nah. Right. Like, he's like,
Tim Sweeney, Gabe Newell, like a lot of people. Yeah. During that time. Yeah. Windows. Before this one,
Windows
right?
8. It was like Windows 8 when they
first. Yeah, it was Windows 8. Yeah. It's true.
And you look today, it's still not Windows apps are still a thing, but people can still just give you.
It's the first thing I uninstalled in.
Yeah. But Microsoft wants to go down the same road as Apple. 100% they do.
They do, but they quit because they realize that's not their PC audience.
PC's always been an open platform, you know, and so that would really be alienating a lot of people, right?
Right. But this next point is interesting because some people, even on the Mac Apple side of things, are worried that it's becoming more like an iOS, which I saw signs of. I was like, what is it? I don't want to work my Mac like an iPad. It just feels less than. I mean, the iPad and iPhone is like a simpler version because of the small screen, and it needs to be that certain size and style.
It's brilliant, actually.
you love the design.
No, it's not about the design. It's about maintaining one code base, right? So that when you do use the app on two different devices, at the very least, you can be somewhat guaranteed you're going to get similar functionality because it's the same code base. It's the same code, right?
Yeah.
And really what it is just the presentation is different based on how are you going to interact with the thing.
I get it. I mean, my wife has an iMac.
It makes it super great to develop apps super quickly. Yeah. And then when they do changes like, oh, we're going to do the M1 chip in a laptop. Now, all of these apps that share the same common code base, all you and all the infrastructure and tooling that they put in place, all you got to do is recompile them for the M1.
Yeah, I agree.
And,
I mean, that's
the shit just works. And you're like, oh, I'm good.
I mean, that's the Mac. I mean, they need to go more and more close. I do give them props for going more private with their phones and stuff. Like, that was the first major company that actually made privacy marketable, right? So I was like, oh, that's another reason. It's like, all right, they're actually kind of winning me over with the smartwatch and the privacy thing, because those are the two things that I hate the most.
Yeah.
When talking to a friend and then in his feed, it pops up like a workout machine we just briefly whispered. I was like, all right, they're not even hiding this anymore, right? It's just it's just clearly listening to you. Yeah, same with my iMac. You know, I am annoyed because depending on what kind of Mac desktop that you have, right? There's different OS systems, right? I was like, why is there like three different OS systems and some doesn't work, like Catalina, Spectre, or something like that?
Well, that's just that's just the different versions of OS, right? And then
yeah, this bullshit. Where's my update?
The newer machines use the newer versions, and if you have an older machine, it depends.
You can't update.
Depends on how old it is. You can't update or not.
Bullshit. All right, that's what I mean. It sounds like, oh, my battery is draining slower after an update, which Apple have admitted that it does it on purpose.
It's the same thing like when you had an old computer and you first installed Windows Vista from back in the day, and all of a sudden Windows Vista needed 8 gigabytes, you only had 4, and the stuff was completely unusable.
Something about the Apple, right? Telling me the same thing, I just instantly hate, right? Because they openly admit like they make you download some malware to upgrade your phone every year. But
they at least support it for like 3-4 years, right? So yeah, like,
before making you update.
Yeah.
I just don't like that. So this is the funniest one. I think it's the last point, right? And this is stuff that we kind of brought up before, where Tim Sweeney has been bugging Tim Cook about this for years, just emailing him all the time about unwinding Apple's App Store policies.
You know what's hilarious? It was like one of the email chains I saw was like Tim going crazy. And then Tim Cook just was like, sent it to the lawyers. It was like, who's this? He was like, yeah, it's hilarious.
I think it's like,
I can't even respond to this. Just lawyers, handle this, you know.
Bro, the next son I get, man, I'm going to name Tim, because it seems like that's how you become billionaire around this time. Tim or Steve.
Tell all the dudes I know that named Tim, why aren't they billionaires?
Because they're not working hard enough, that's why. Did you come across a good idea and then steal it? No? Well, that's why.
Terrible.
So I'll read a little more about these email exchanges. The effort peaked with a 2015 email directly to Cook, laying out the case for an open iOS over the course of 4 paragraphs. Cook responded to Schiller and Q. Is this the guy that was one of our rehearsals? They didn't know. He doesn't even bother with him. That's the email. That's the email. That's the email. He's like, is this the guy? 3 years later, Tim Sweeney was still trying, pressing the case through the various developers. Really, you know, it is always inner circle. I'm telling you, man, as you make your way up this industry as a game developer, man, you think you're lead and you're finally starting to call a shot, but there's like another meeting that doesn't exclude you, and you just see yourself constantly outside that bubble of control. You're just getting closer. It's Attack of the Titan, man. It's like you're just getting closer and never at the center, right? What a smack in the face to finally get into the billionaires club. But it's like, where are you at 1 billion? Bro, this is 10 billion and above club. Before we exchange emails, okay? What a hilarious. What a hilarious thing to come across. You never win, man. How can you win?
Well, he's going to go to court to see if he's going to win right now. So.
Well, you say 60-40. I guess I'm leaning towards that too, man. I think it is 60-40. It's way closer than I thought months ago. I had no idea Epic had this type of ammunition. I had no idea Apple would... I think they're taking it more seriously now. Like, I was reading through some of the transcript, right, of when Tim Cook was kind of on the stand and answering these questions and being basically grilled by the judge. Because Apple's the titan, right? So no one, everyone fighting against Goliath right now. And so there was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that dynamic of the judge kind of siding with the lesser billionaire company, right?
Yeah, I don't even know. I saw some of the interactions. I heard some of the interactions between judge and like when Tim Cook was on the stand, and the judge seemed kind of
whatever,
pointing out things both ways. Kind of, it seemed kind of even to me, right? So yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, what was the most surprising thing that you felt? Since, you know, December, right, where this is more even than we thought, right? What was the surprising thing for both companies? I mean, you're being ex-app. Well, I feel like you knew a lot of these things because you were in those meetings making the call.
I was not.
Oh, you were outside the bubble?
Dude, at Apple, you are your own bubble. Like, there ain't no information coming into that bubble.
Okay.
Like you're on a team, you don't even know what your team's working on.
It's like, oh, you only have stage two access? Oh, wow. There's eight stages here.
Yeah. I can tell you stories, man. It's like, it's kind of like that. But anyway, but I think the most surprising thing is that there's even a court case at all for me, honestly.
It went this far?
Yeah.
6 months out?
Yeah, man. Yeah, they were still talking about it. I think that's pretty surprising. Like in terms of like the information that came out, actually one not surprising was kind of what I always knew. Cause like we focus on the $9 billion of Fortnite over 2 years, but one of the other numbers was how much, Unreal Engine has made.
How much did they make? Did you get that number? Yeah. Way less than that, right? What was that number?
Like way, 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 way less than that.
Hundreds of millions. Dollars.
No, not even.
Right. Not even hundreds of millions.
Yeah, not even, right? And so that's why. That is surprising. Well, one thing.
Let me look.
I don't know if that's surprising because, like, at the end of the day, right? Like, the game industry is the game industry, but all of the top games right now, the top 10 games right now, are none of them are using any sort of off the shelf engine. They're all, a lot of them are all custom engine, right? You know, GTA.
All the top games.
All the top games, you know, Assassin's Creed games, Call of Duty, et cetera, right? These are all custom engines. And so, like, there isn't a huge piece of revenue from selling an engine to game dev teams, right? And I think Apple knows that. No, sorry, I think Epic also knows that, right? Like, you know, there's money to get there. There's money to get there. But the real money is, okay, what are we going to do with this metaverse? What are we going to do with metaverse? What are we going to do with entertainment? What are we going to do, you know, make this real-time 3D thing a bigger thing? What are we going to do with the Epic Store? Epic Store is making a ton of money. Epic Store is making more money, right? Like, so, or has the potential to make a lot of money, especially if it gets on iOS devices, right? So like,
is that why Unreal Engine lately has been crashing a lot?
there's other avenues where they're going to get the money. You know what I mean? And like Fortnite dwarfs the engine business in terms of revenue. Like it's almost rounding error at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm seeing like a lot of.
That was the most, I think that was the most useful piece of information that came out of that court case. But that's something I've been saying that for like a while now, right? It's really about the non-gaming use cases where the growth is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that, I mean, that must be true with all their hits since Gears of War. Like, the engine business has never really been as comparable.
But of course, that engine business and the engine development, of course, is like
goes hand in hand.
It's the without it, you don't have anything else, right? But
yeah,
but everything else is being built up around it, making way more money, right?
Yeah. They definitely struck gold with Fortnite, man. It was such a phenomenon. Like, I was so much in disbelief how much of a cultural phenomenon it was, just seeing it everywhere with athletes doing the dance. I was like, wow, this is... I've never seen any game that have done that in that way.
Well, I mean, we talk about $9 billion in 2 years. I think, did they talk about how much Grand Theft Auto 5 has made over all the versions? It's been like 10 years. It's been like
some stupid. Let me see that.
Like GTA,
it's not 5. 9 billion.
GTA 5 has made a lot of money, man. Because of GTA Online, it's been
GTA silly. GTA 5. I got something. Sold 145 million copies. Both GTA 5 and GTA Online helped Take-Two hit 3.37 billion in revenues in 2020.
That's 1 year, right? But like, if you go over the whole
franchise.
Yeah, 6 billion in revenues, but that was in 2018 though. Right? So like,
oh, you're talking about GTA 5 throughout just that game's history.
Yes, but in 2018 it was 90 million sales and $6 billion in revenue
just for 1 year.
It's the most financially successful media title of all time,
made in their own engine.
That's just, and it's still going. I'll point out, it's still going. It is.
I still haven't played the game fully.
It just released on PS5, or it's going to release on PS5 soon, or something. Like it's crazy, right?
So, yeah. That's why they can give away NBA 2K1 on the Epic Store. Wow, it's doing Grand Theft. I forget that. I mean, the numbers are familiar because I reread it every year.
Yeah.
But like, how many billions for that whole franchise? Over 10?
Yeah, it's something stupid.
For one game, guys, and open world with the story narrative. Like, that's the type of game that, yes, it was open world, but there is this, I would be so disheartened to learn that GTA 6 doesn't have the story driven mode with its online. Like, I'm afraid that they're going to do like some kind of online blended story mode, which sounds interesting, but I do like the care of going through a world for that. For you, right? Like, this whole world was created just for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 100 million other players, but like, you are going through it at your own pace and it's being unraveled, right? I love that element of a GTA. I hope they don't take it out, but I feel like because their online has been so successful, that's the way they're moving.
Yeah.
As evolve thinking looks like.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, let me say this, man. It sounds like once every 10, 12 years, you have kind of like breakout hits, right? Takes the world over. GTA 5 to Fortnite. Like, yeah, there are a lot of games in between, obviously, but those are definitely the tent poles of what define our industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the next thing, dude? What do you think it is? I mean, those are two somewhat similar genres, shooting, right? It's violence. But other than that, they don't share the same thing. One's super multiplayer, which is
battle royale. Honestly, I think everybody is, there's a lot of people betting on the metaverse as the next big thing. A lot of people are betting on this.
What's
of course,
bigger?
Of course, it could fizzle out and be nothing and be a complete bomb, but a lot of people are really focusing on this right now, you know, trying to go after Roblox, you know, and Roblox's success.
Roblox is doing well in the stocks. They're growing. Let's watch.
Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting. I think that, you know, I've seen a lot of money going that way. Like literally all the Sony's investment in Epic was like, we're investing in the metaverse, right? So like there seems to be some serious efforts going in that direction, right? Mm-hmm. The platform where you do all of your hanging out and integration with your friends and all of those things, right? And you know, this generation is more and more online, so like it makes sense.
Yeah, Epic has been doing such a great job of genre defining games. I mean, Gears of War definitely created a trajectory for over the shoulder. I mean, sure, they took it from Resident Evil 4, right? The over the shoulder Resident Evil 4 was there, but Gears of War was a huge game. For in terms of graphic,
fidelity. Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything other than a lot of people like Gears of War.
Yeah, I love number one.
I agree. A lot of people like Gears of War. I guess.
Yes,
yeah. It just was never my thing.
So you don't think? All right, of all the companies. Honestly, it's no surprise that GTA 5 and Fortnite are the two biggest players. Who's closest to the metaverse? Both companies seem capable. I would say GTA 5 is more capable. Because Fortnite doesn't have that much development research as building the world of GTA 5, right?
That's why they've acquired, you know, different companies to kind of focus on that, and they're getting
Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
Well, even with that, there's a reason why there's five GTAs that are fantastic with Red Dead, right? That team is just fucking once in a lifetime assemble Avengers, right? It's very hard.
No.
Bro, that game is amazing. Like,
okay, hold on. The results of Red Dead Redemption and all the GTA games are amazing, right? Yeah. There's a core creative team,
yeah,
which is basically like the brothers, like the Housers or whatever, right? Yeah. Who kind of is the core creative team, right? And everybody else is kind of like the expendable pawns that are whipped to death,
right,
to make the thing, right? Yeah. And so like
the puppets,
yeah, like. To think that there's one team that's just going from game to game, making this hit after hit after hit. That's not how that's been working.
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm referring to the Dream Team. I'm not referring to the fifth guy at QA, right? I'm referring to that top level tier team have proven themselves to be repeatable successes, right? And even though Epic is going out there with their freshly minted $9 billion purse, who's the closest to building this metaverse? I'm giving it a little bit to the Rockstar guys.
Yeah, I guess, but you know, I think also, you know, Roblox is there. There's Core from Manticore. That's a new thing.
Those are not.
I'm saying,
that's not the metaverse. All right. When I think Ready Player One, I'm thinking these game companies that are.
Yeah.
At the top of the game, right? We're looking at AAA.
Maybe Sony, like, because Sony makes
Sony has a lot. Well, that's kind of like the side. That's the what you call it when you get kind of clocked in the face, surprisingly. What is that word? Completely escapes me. But that sucker punch. Yeah, sucker punch, right?
Yeah.
It is funny how Epic is kind of trying to build this metaverse, and it's cute that they're buying Rocket League and Fall Guys, and it's like, we're going to build this up. But you look over at Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, especially Nintendo, is like, they already have all the characters they need to make a metaverse. Nintendo's probably the closest, right? Microsoft is, you know, they have a lot of companies.
Well, that's
they can
why,
make
that's
something why, happen. Well, that's why they can make their Disneyland. Everyone, respectively, all three of these players can make their Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
It's funny that no one's talking about these three, and everyone's, you know, always on Epic and these indie titles, right? So
only on, well,
give
well,
some only respect.
One of them, well, only one of them is actually made or is making a Disneyland, right?
Nintendo.
Yeah, right? Nintendo's actually making Nintendo World.
Yeah, but I feel like Nintendo's the closest of realizing we have a lot of important properties. Let's mix them. They've done it many times. Smash Brothers, Mario Party, all their games are kind of
mixed. You're saying many times. They've been doing it for multiple decades.
Yeah. For many times. So this idea.
Alive,
they've been doing So let's throw those three players, obviously, rightfully so, right? Out of these five, Epic, Rockstar, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft. Who's the closest of establishing at least the first great metaverse? I don't think it's Epic. They just have a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a capabilities. It's probably, you know, yeah, Sony, Nintendo.
Think Sony, dude.
Type of money, but it's hard to say. Yeah. But also, if you're making $9 billion in revenue over 2 years, like
it's a lot of money.
That don't sound like a problem, you know, that you can't tackle with some good R&D.
Well, how soon do you think this new world is going to be? I feel like Facebook's going to come out of nowhere. And
Who knows? A lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are doing stuff. It's right now, there's all sorts of tech floating around where people are going to do things with, to do certain things, right? But,
well, let me ask you this. With the metaverse, what's last question? What is more important? Is it having lots of these licenses that people know and love? Or is this literally just a place that you can meld different genres together? More important?
I think what's important is the interaction and how much you can interact in the world with people that you know, social interaction. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing, right? And that's why, you know, Facebook paid all that money for Oculus, right? Because they saw something years down the line of where that tech could possibly go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, that concludes this month's roundtable news. Ray, as always, thank you for coming on. For those out there, you know, buy a Bruce Lee shirt, stop Asian hate. Everyone loves Bruce Lee. And
that shirt you bought it, and then Asian hate went down by 2%.
That's how I feel every time I come out with this thing. But as always, you know, if there's anything that you want to further discuss, jump in the Discord channel. You can find that on the website, gamedevenchain.com. You want to reach out to either myself or Ray, you can find us on Twitter at BlueChamps or at WaterAss, WADARASS.
He has it memorized.
Yeah, man. So come tweet at us if you disagree with Ray. If you agree with me, just heart me on Twitter. But that's pretty much it, man. Thanks for listening. And hopefully this is the last episode we talk about Epic versus Apple. I keep saying that every time. But it keeps getting longer and longer. All right, guys. Yeah. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are liking the podcast, go to the Apple iTunes store and give Game Dev Unchained a 5-star rating. This will help spread the joy and love and exposure for the podcast, and we thank you very much. If you want to continue the conversation, go to our Discord, which can be found on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at BlueChamps, BlueChamps. You want to catch these episodes live every Tuesdays and Thursdays, go to twitch.tv/blue_champs. Email me any of your concerns or questions that you want me to read aloud at the beginning of each episode at info@gamedevunchained.com. And if you want to further support us and help unlock the next feature, which is the voicemail feature, go to patreon.com/BlueChamps. This gives listeners a chance to kind of call in, leave a message for both me and the guests to answer your deepest, darkest questions and comment on your deepest, darkest secrets. Thank you, everybody.